an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
Hello, welcome back to NITV Radio. Well, there's no other way to say it, ladies and gentlemen, but in Australia, at this very present time, we have a national suicide crisis with our youth, and unfortunately, not enough is being done about it. There's not enough media coverage, and it's just getting worse. 11 First Nations youth aged 18 years or less have lost their life to suicide in the last 60 days. Now, one fellow who's out there fighting for the mob and trying to get this issue on the front pages and get something really done about it is journalist Jerry Georgatos, who's crying out for more support from all levels of community and government to save children's lives. Jerry, welcome to the show, mate.
Hey, Danny. Thanks for having me on, brother.
No worries. Look, mate, it's been a hectic time, and you know, I've been following you on Twitter. You're a great advocate for our mob and a lot of our issues, and particularly around suicide, which is nothing new. You know, we've been banging on about this for a long time, but in the last couple of months, mate, it's just been terrible. What's your take on what's going on?
Well, before I actually preface what's been going on, I'd just like to say one thing, because there's a myth that needs to be busted.
Yep.
And that the disparity between First Nation suicides and non-First Nation suicide is not complex. This argument that the issues are complex is a shortchanging of the ways forward. It is a letting off of governments from their responsibilities to actually address the major issue. So it's not complex. There's a lot of people in the space, and I've been a suicide prevention researcher for 15 years. I've spent three years I was in journalism actually translating a lot of my research so the average person, the lay person, could actually understand what the issues actually are. And I've responded to 500 First Nations family suicide affected over the last half a dozen years, in addition to migrant-born families, in addition to Australian-born families who are suicide affected. But the issues in terms of the disparities are not complex. As long as we keep on saying that they're complex, then the presumption will be the too hard basket. The presumption will be that the governments can't respond to them in the ways that they should, and we're letting them off the hook or whatever, right? And similarly, so some of the government-funded bastions and services responsible for some of the ways forward. But in the first 10 days of the year, I felt a moral obligation to actually take out to the nation the fact that five young First Nations children, all girls, 2-12 years of age, the oldest 15 years of age, had taken their lives. How much more are we going to actually sit by idly and not respond to this harrowing tragedy? And soon thereafter, it was 8, and today, as we go to air, it's 11. And that's 17 years and less. And there's also 6 non-First Nations children, one as young as 12, who's also taking their lives, and they shouldn't be forgotten.
No, and I just find it incredible that at, you know, the state and the federal levels, that we aren't hearing our politicians talk about this and trying to address it, because any other country, I mean, you'd be losing your marbles, wouldn't you, when this is happening?
But well, a lot of people, I think government has lost its marbles, that it has, and all sides of the government, that they haven't prioritised, made it the pressing issue of our times. In the past, I've called for a Royal Commission, only because the issues are that dramatic, that harrowing, and the inauthenticity of the suicide prevention space and the allied spaces to it. There's a lot of commodification of suicide prevention. There's a lot of carpetbaggers polluting the space, claiming that they've got the solution, when they're getting some of that little funding that's available. The funding isn't a lot. What little funding there has been dedicated to the space isn't hitting the ground, isn't hitting the crushing poverty, isn't improving the life circumstance. And just to nail home the real point, and I've generated a lot of media and galvanized a lot of discussion, and I'm happy for everybody to be speaking their piece and their beliefs.
Yep.
But for me, as a researcher, this is it in terms of the disparity. First Nation suicides are 2.5 times that of non-First Nation suicides, 2.5 times the rate. 2.5 times the rate.
Yep.
There are some regions like the Kimberley where I disaggregated 2 years ago where it's 6 and 7 times, and finals, Queensland 5 and 6 times. But in general, nationally, it's 2.5 times the rate. And then we have to look at the poverty rates. 40% of First Nations people live below the poverty line, the Henderson poverty line. 14% of Australians, the whole of Australia, lives below the poverty line. 14% of the rest of Australians live below the poverty line. That's a 2.5 differential. That's exactly an absolute correlation to suicide prevention rate, First Nations to non-First Nations, and poverty First Nations to the rest of Australians. But in my research, nearly 100%, and there are outliers. Yes, there are people who have taken their life above the poverty line, but they're few. First Nations suicides, nearly 100% of the suicides are of people living below the poverty line. And it is almost negligible the suicides of First Nations people above the poverty line, and much less than non-Indigenous, much less than non-First Nations people living above the poverty line. So it is about improving life circumstance, lifting people out of poverty. And there's one positive stat I want to give your audience, and that's that, like migrant-born Australians who came from socioeconomic disadvantage, particularly from culturally diverse like me and language diverse backgrounds, they were the most driven to succeed at university. They were the most driven to excel at secondary schooling, but the most driven to succeed at university. One of the highest graduate cohorts now in terms of rate are First Nations students at university. First Nations students are just as likely as migrant-born from socioeconomic disadvantage to succeed at university. Those who are living above the poverty line or just in proximity to it, just above it, than the rest of the nation. So they're driven. And what I'm saying is it's about improving life circumstance. Let's remember, poverty can be addressed. But some people think poverty is too hard, and poverty is born of inequalities, and we have a responsibility to plateau out the poverty rates. And if we plateau out the poverty rates, we'll reduce the suicide rates in terms of disparity. That is the way to at least bring them to parity.
Yep.
And there is no other way forward. It's about the lifting of people out of poverty. And let's remember the remote 40,000 children, 8 out of 10 will not complete year 12. So what hope?
That's a shocking statistic, isn't it?
8 out of 10 First Nations children will not complete year 12, and boarding schoolers in Deanza alone or whatever, because there's only 5,700 First Nations students in boarding schools, and the majority of them are actually from urban masses in the regions, similarly so, and there's not enough places for them, and there's not enough supports in place to get them all across the line. There's a low success rate. But First Nations students that make it to university through alternative pathways or other, or through normal channels, are the most likely to succeed, are the most likely to graduate. And let's remember, in 1970, there were no First Nations doctors, there were no First Nations lawyers, there were no First Nations entrepreneurs on a wide scale or whatever. Today, there are 300 doctors with 300 more on the way, 800 lawyers with more on the way. There are media broadcasters like yourselves. There are more than 140 AMSs, 150 ALSs. There's all sorts of stuff. So poverty can be addressed. It's about keeping the government honest to the issue of poverty in terms of reducing it to its the parity between the poverty rates, and then we'll reduce the suicide toll and other aberrant behaviour to that too. Mm. And then we can. But I'm not saying there aren't an arc of issues. There are an arc of issues, but they're much more pronounced and they're much more likely to occur for those living in poverty, and particularly in crushing poverty, where the rates to aberrant behaviour are higher than otherwise.
Jerry, do you think there's a bit of a desensitisation of suicide and the issue of suicide? Like, we hear lots of reports here at NITV that a lot of the suicides out there that aren't even being reported on by local media or, you know, mainstream media. People, I don't know, I don't understand how the nation's not shocked when we have these spate of suicides, and yet there's no national discussion. And even within the mainstream media, it seems to be a topic that they don't really want to sort of report on or address, because we just hear more and more of these things happening, but there's no media to sort of, you know, to show what's the Australian public what's happening.
Well, look, there's a lot of not wanting to speak to issues that are considered to be difficult or too hard, and this is why I'm trying to decomplexify it and actually take it to its core issue. Just for your listeners, the migrant-born are actually one-third of all the suicides. Of the 3,128 suicides in the last reported count, nearly one-third were of migrant-born Australians, particularly newly arrived Australians of culturally diverse and language diverse and socioeconomic disadvantaged backgrounds. Yep. So they're lost in translation too, and I'm probably the only spoken person in the country at this stage speaking loudly about migrant-born suicide. So there's that lack of understanding, if anything, in the media. And the narratives are shaped by the media, sadly, or whatever, but there's more discussion now than ever before. But in terms of, there's 1,200 First Nations communities, if we talk remote homelands, townships and all that, and I've been to 600 of them, brother. I've been to more than most actually have over the decade. And so I'm saying this, I can speak with some informed capacity to your listeners if they're asking, because in the end, what we have is a lot of desktop research.
Yep.
Desktop research is peer reviewing other desktop research in the speculative and one arc or one range of the issues. Well, I'm actually arguing the whole arc of issues and the narrative of poverty. But in the communities, there's no desensitization. There's only pain.
Yeah.
From the loss and suffering, there's grief and it's toxic, and the translation is that they're forgotten and being left behind. In terms of the media, in terms of our household Australians, there's not enough wide-ranging information for them. There's not enough of this narrative being taken out, and maybe something is actually changing in the media. In the last couple of years, we've had more attention paid, but my problem is that we can't have any censorship by omission, leaving voices out. There's got to be a multitude of voices, even the carpetbaggers, even the people that are questionable, even the people that have belief systems that are skewed and they've got misunderstandings, because in the end, what we need is everybody having their say. But in the end, what we also need is expert voices. We can't just have anybody under the sun coming in with all the same language. That it's complex, that it's normalized, that it's desensitized, whatever, right? That it's our lot, that it's our burden, it will remain with us, that it's all hopeless, the remote community should be closed. All that stuff is rubbish. Their utterances, their chatter. What we need is the expert voices to come in and actually speak from an informed capacity. And I'll argue myself as an expert voice, but in the end, one of the things I'm trying to say in terms of that expertise, it is not complex.
Yep.
It is actually a targeted response to the poverty of these communities. There are hundreds of communities without a swimming pool. There are hundreds of communities without any recreational facilities. Do you know how many brothers and sisters, young people, after their last football game, take their lives because there's nothing else on the horizon for them? Oh. And the psychoeducative, the psychosocial culture is important. It's the only resilience that they've got left because it's about identity, but it's about identity. But it's also got to be linked to access to opportunity on the horizon, whether it's education, whether it's something other tangible, whether it's an improving of life circumstance, whether it's employment. And education is a powerful, when you said that it's tragic that when I said 8 out of 10 in the remote will not complete school, education is the most powerful protective factor because it's a dawn of new meanings, it's shared understandings, it's a wider spectrum of thinking.
Yep.
It takes people, reduces the level of disordered thinking or narrow cognitive levels of thinking. And we can't be denying this. It's third world akin when our remote is reduced to the very least of what could be in the 12th biggest economy on the planet. And then there are the urban masses, whatever. Only 4%. This might shock your listeners because people think public rental housing is significant in terms of proportion to total households. But only 4% of Australian households are actually public rental housing. After homelessness, the poorest Australians live in public rental housing.
Yep.
That's 4%. And for First Nations people, a lot of them take in brothers and sisters off the streets. A lot of them take in extended family doing it hard. And that impacts upon them and it impacts upon their budget and takes them in within the urban masses to a sliver of poverty that is so crushing because they're left without a quid that they can't manage the essentials for their own family. And we've got people on a Christmas Day, end of year, school holidays, during birthday anniversaries and the like, whatever, that they can't do enough for their kids, and that displaced anger leads them to culmination of disordered thinking and of the taking of one's life when things become too much, the hardship upon hardship upon hardship. It's why I teamed up with Debbie Kilroy to raise nearly $400,000, which has been Debbie's
work. That was amazing.
Yeah, but that's for me, it was to relieve the hardship from these mothers, from brothers. I've paid for 3 brothers out of prison so far or whatever because the campaign doesn't cover them just yet because we're doing the women first or the predominant carers who are single-parent mothers and been taken away from their kids.
Yep.
But for me, it's about relieving the hardship. They can't afford $500 infringements. This is why I'm actually pushing for income-appropriate sized fines or whatever, to make it affordable right from the very beginning for everybody. Not this punitive stuff that's not even egalitarian from the beginning where a $500 hit for someone on $100,000 is meaningless,
yeah.
But a $500 hit for somebody on $20,000, a single parenting pension and disability pension, a carer's pension, New Start youth allowance, for those youth allowance, New Start, it's double their weekly income. What are they, not going to pay their public housing rental or whatever? Are they not going to put food on the table? What's their priority going to be, pay and
exactly, rent? Yep. Exactly. Jerry, unfortunately, we're running out of time, but, mate, just want to thank you for your work you're doing in this space. I'd like to keep talking and get you back on and really unpack this issue of suicide and really show Australia, as you say, it's not complex, bro, you know? And that, you know, together, working together with good voices in the field, that maybe, you know, we can actually start saving lives instead of burying people, as you said in your post yesterday, brother.
Yeah, we weren't put on this earth to bury children. We weren't put on this earth to bury anyone prematurely, not from suicide at the very least, or other unnatural deaths. And yes, there's something that you said, the suicide rate is higher than reported. That's true. But look, in the end, it's not complex. On that note, I'll leave it at that. Much love, Danny. Much love to all of you. Much love to your listeners. Much love to everything that you're about and what you do too, brother.
No
you
worries.
Do too. I know that you do.
No much love. Thank you, my brother. Keep working. We'll get you back on. And, you know, I encourage people to please follow Jerry on social media if you want to get the latest information around, you know, his work and his research. It's really invaluable. So thanks a lot, brother.
Bye, Danny. Bye.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio or download the SBS radio app.